Buenas Afiwe.
Amen.
For Yukikuyu, Mwathani Agosho. We're going to have some fun here today. The Lord is here, the Holy Spirit is here, and He wants to do good things for us, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Lord will do with us today. Turn to Matthew 6. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. So get your thumbs warmed up. I believe that God's plan for the church is that He wants every believer to walk in miracles and to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that miracles and the power of God are not just for preachers and for ministers, but they're for every believer. And I believe that if Jesus Christ is your Savior, He wants you walking in the miraculous. I want to prove that to you today through Scripture, and I'm going to tell you a little bit later a secret to walking in the power of God. So stay with me. Now we're going to start in a strange place, okay? We're going to start with the Lord's Prayer, or some have called it the Apostles' Prayer. Matthew 6, looking at the first two verses. This is a commandment from Jesus, and He says, "This is how I want you boys to pray." Actually, they had women with Him too, so I guess we usually think of the disciples as just men, but you know they had a pretty good collection of women along with them as well. Jesus is telling them, said, "This is the way I want you to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus commanded us to pray that the kingdom of God would come onto this earth. Now, some folks think of the kingdom of God as something that we're going to go to someday in heaven. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God coming to this earth now, and we're to participate in His process of doing that, okay? What does it mean to be in the kingdom of God? Imagine with me that we all decided that we were going to go to a country. There was a country that was being ruled by a king, and we all moved there. When we arrive, the king greets us, welcomes us, "Karibuni," he says. And we say, "What's it like here?" Oh, he brags about his kingdom. "Man, this is the greatest place. We've got lots of food, and everybody here is happy, and we want you to just enjoy this kingdom. It's a great kingdom with lots of benefits." And then he would probably get a little bit of a serious look on his face. And he would say, "But you got to understand something. Those who are in this kingdom, I expect them to obey the laws of the kingdom." He might tell us something like he expects us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves or something like that. He might also tell us, "I'm the king and whatever I say is law and I expect you to do that." Understand that concept of a kingdom? Okay. That's exactly what Jesus came to planet Earth to do. That is to establish His kingdom. Turn to Matthew 4. In Matthew 4 and verse 17, we get a glimpse of how Jesus did His ministry, what He did. It says in Matthew 4 and 17, "From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim the good news and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God,'" or the kingdom of heaven, it says here, "is at hand." Now, when He says, "is at hand," that's a Jewish idiom. That's a way that the Jews use to say, "it's here." They wouldn't say directly, "it's here." They would just say, "it's at hand." That means it's here. Jesus was saying, "Hey, everybody, I got good news for you. The kingdom of God is here, and you can be part of it." And then what He did was He showed people what life in the kingdom of God was like. And He went around healing people and casting out devils and setting captives free. This was the ministry of Jesus. And He also said, look at John 14 and verse 15. He also told His disciples, like that king would have told us, "I expect you to obey my commandments." He said here, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So just like that king in that mythical kingdom, He would tell us how wonderful His kingdom is, how great it would be to live there. And then He also tells us, "Oh, by the way, I'm the king. I expect you to submit to my rule and reign." So this is how I pray that first part of the Lord's Prayer. I pray, "Father, you're the Father and I'm the child. I submit myself to you and I submit my life and all that I am to you. I humbly submit to your rule and reign in my life. You're my king. Father, bring your kingdom into this earth. and bring us into the joys of your kingdom. Bring us into a place of healing and deliverance from the enemy. And Lord, give us the chance to be a part of building your kingdom. Give us the chance to help bring people into your kingdom. Give us the privilege of teaching and training those who are in the kingdom so that they can enjoy living in the kingdom and they can enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of righteousness. And give us a chance to help them be healed and delivered and stay that way. That's what I think it means to bring the kingdom of God to earth. Now, the last part that I'm praying about helping get people healed and delivered, Lord wants you to hear something about that today. This work of healing, this work of casting out demons, it is absolutely not the exclusive purview or job of preachers and pastors and ministers and evangelists. God wants every believer to walk in that kind of power in the kingdom of God. God expects every believer to walk in miracles. Now, God's extending an invitation to you today, an encouragement to you today, really, to continue the work that Jesus started here on this earth. The work of calling people into the kingdom of God, and then the work of showing them what it's like living in the kingdom of God. And you do that by helping them be healed and helping them be delivered. Now, some of you are asking, God wants me to continue the ministry of Jesus? Surely God can't expect that from me. I'm just a person, a whatever. I haven't been to seminary, haven't been ordained. Surely God would never have his miracle-working power working through my life. Well, let me tell you some stories about how this works, okay? We recently prayed for a lady that had cancer, and without any treatments at all, God healed her. We recently prayed for a woman who had diabetes. She went back to her doctor, and the doctor couldn't believe it because she had gone from being a diabetic on one day to being healed the next day. That's part of the joys of being in the kingdom of God. Debbie and I stayed a few nights at a house up in the mountains a couple of weeks ago. And when we got there, after a couple of hours, we began to just feel kind of depressed or something. We just weren't sure what it was. And after a while, we mentioned it to each other and said, there's just something wrong here. Do you feel that? Yeah, I just feel kind of depressed. So we said, well, let's pray. Let's pray over this place and us. And we started praying, and the Holy Spirit revealed that there was a spirit of depression that had been left behind by the person who had been living in that house the week before. So we, in the name of Jesus, we drove that evil spirit away, told him to leave us alone, and we told him that the person who had been staying there, we told him, you got to leave them alone too. And I mean, instantly the air began to clear within just not too long at all. We were completely free to really enjoy ourselves there. And we got a report back from the lady who had been there before us that she was being set free, and she was much freer and feeling better too. See, this is the power of living and walking in the kingdom of God. We prayed for a lady, this has been a couple of years ago now, but she was crippled with arthritis. She couldn't do any work at home. She couldn't do dishes. She couldn't prepare food, nothing. She couldn't make the bed. Somebody had to help her all the time. God healed that lady, and she was absolutely, completely set free. I mean, God rebuilt the joints and everything, and she immediately began to do her own housework. Got rid of her house girl. I don't need you anymore. Praise God, she said. You know, this is what it means to be in the kingdom of God. Lord wants every one of us to be able to do this kind of stuff too, and I want to prove it to you from the Word, okay? Now, remember we looked at Matthew 4:17. What did Jesus say? Hey, the kingdom of God's here, folks, and you can be part of it. Now, let me show you what it's like. And he started healing the sick and casting out devils, that sort of thing. He spent most of his time here on planet Earth doing just that. Now, I want to challenge you to do something so that you can really see the ministry of Jesus. I want you to read the four Gospels in the next 30 days. If you'll read three books a day, start with Matthew 1 and go all the way through John 21. If you'll read three chapters a day, you'll get through all four Gospels in a month. And when you do it quickly like that, you really begin to see, man, Jesus is just spending all of his time healing people and casting out devils. He's just doing it over and over. He's busy at that. Matter of fact, what's even better is if you can get the Bible on CD and listen to the Gospels over a period of like a week. Oh, man, it's like every time you turn around, he's healing somebody. This is what Jesus did. This was the ministry that he came to do. Now, look at Luke 9, chapter 9, and we'll see here where Jesus delegated this ministry to the apostles. Luke 9, just the first couple of verses. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. In other words, he said, I'm sending you boys to do what I've been doing. You proclaim the good news, kingdom of God's here, and then you heal people. Okay, that was the apostles. That was the 12. Well, these were the special ones, you know, that God had called. Hey, look, these were just guys. I mean, one of them was a tax collector and a couple of them were fishermen. They were just guys, see? But they became the leaders of the church. So we say, okay, well, yeah, that's for leaders to do that. Well, look in Luke 10. If we look at verse 1, it says, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. And sent them out two by two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And then you look down there at verse 9, part of the instructions he gave to them was, heal those in it, in the village you go to, who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Or we would say, the kingdom of God has come to you. So this wasn't the 12 leaders. This was just 70 other people that were willing to go. And look at verse 17 of Luke 10, what happened? And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, these ordinary people continued to heal the sick. They continued to cast out devils. Look at Matthew 17. I want to show you something. Pick a little nuance out of this story here that you might not have caught before. Matthew 17, starting in verse 14, we see here where a man comes to Jesus out of the multitude. He falls down on his knees and he says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. He was probably an epileptic whose epilepsy was being encouraged or brought on by a demon. And he said, he's very ill. He often falls into fire. He often falls into water. I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. So this guy was expecting the disciples to be able to cast this demon out. The disciples were expecting to do that too, and it didn't work. And so the guy says, they couldn't cure him, so I'm bringing him to you. Well, look down here in verse 19. After Jesus cast the demon out of this boy, in verse 19 it says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately. Why could we not cast it out? Now, it says disciples. It doesn't say the 12. It's talking about all the folks that were there with him, the folks that were following him along. Why couldn't we do that? You know what that tells me? They've been used to doing this. They weren't just doing it when they were sent out that one time. They were doing it all along the way, and they came up against this. What happened? The Lord said, well, you got to understand, sometimes you're going to have to mix a little fasting with your prayer in order to keep. Notice he's teaching them. He's training them how to carry on his ministry. Now, let me give you an example, another example of that. Tell you another story about the Lord working with us in modern times. Not too long ago, I don't know, a month or so ago, we got a call from a Kenyan lady who is living in Germany. She was being attacked by an incubus spirit. That's a evil spirit that specializes in sexual perversion. In her case, this thing would come to her every night and try to rape her. And she was terrified. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know what it was. She didn't know how to get rid of it. All she knew was she was frightened. She couldn't get a decent night's sleep. It had been weeks since she had slept all night. She was taking naps during the day because she was afraid to go to sleep at night. So as we began to pray with her and talk with her, one of the things we did was we helped her to understand from the Word that she has all authority and all power over all demonic spirits. It has been given to her by Jesus through the name of Jesus. We explained to her what the spirit was and that it was just an evil spirit. And it appeared that she hadn't necessarily invited it, but it had attacked her. And so she can drive it out. And so we prayed with her and we agreed with her and drove out that evil spirit. And for the first time in months, she had a good night's sleep that night. And she slept well for a few nights, and then that evil spirit came back. And she called and talked to Debbie. Debbie said, now, you know, you have authority over this. You don't have to let this thing come back, but let me pray with you. Let's agree together and drive him away. So they did that. She slept fine for about a week and a half, and it came back again. But this next time it came back, she knew her authority in the Lord. This single Kenyan woman in Germany knew that she was a believer in Christ, and she drove that thing away, and it hadn't come back. She's free. Now, we are all called to continue the ministry of Jesus here on this earth. We see his ministry was to heal the sick and cast out devils. He equipped the apostles to do that. He then equipped others to do that. And look at Mark 16. Mark 16, the last part of the book. Jesus is talking to his disciples, giving them kind of their last pep talk before he leaves planet Earth and goes to sit at the right hand of the Father. I don't care if you're a nurse, a housewife, a house painter, a courier. I don't care what you do. God wants you walking in this. It's not just for the apostles or preachers, okay? And I know that because, if nothing else, because of the scripture. In Mark 16, we look at verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. Now, before we read what those signs are, what does he mean, those who have believed? Who's he talking about? He's talking about Christians, right? If you have accepted Jesus into your heart, if you have been born again, if you call Jesus your Savior, then what do we call folks like that? We call them believers, right? Okay. These signs will follow those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. And go down in verse 18, it says they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. He didn't say these signs will follow the apostles, and when the apostles die, the stuff ends. He didn't say that. He says these signs should be following anybody that believes. This is the secret to walking in the power of God, that we have to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to do the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do these kind of things. Remember when he was baptized and the dove comes down on him, the Holy Spirit shows up bodily. Again, he told in Luke 4, he was quoting that scripture out of Isaiah, "The Lord has anointed me." Jesus had to be anointed to do those miracles. He expects us to have the same anointing. Turn to Acts 1. Acts 1. This is some more of the last words of Jesus before he is received up into heaven, before the ascension, as it is sometimes called. Acts 1, starting in verse 4, and gathering them together, them, meaning all of his followers. There were hundreds of folks there. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will, at some point soon, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he kind of explains why that's important. Look down at verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Jesus was saying, look, folks, don't even think about starting this ministry that I'm calling you to, this ministry to continue my ministry. Don't even think about doing that until you have been infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, that happened in Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 4. They were getting persecuted for some miracles they were doing. And they're praying, and this is part of their prayer, Acts 4, verses 29 through 31. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that we, your bondservants, may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and while signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed like this, the place where they were in was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. And we also know, by looking at other things that happened in the book of Acts, or by reading the early church fathers, the first couple of 300 years of the church, they did miracles too. They were casting out devils. They were healing the sick. Folks were setting out sick people on the sidewalk, hoping that Peter's shadow would fall on them, because they knew if Peter walked close to them, they'd probably get healed. I mean, they were just continuing the ministry that Jesus had. Now, many of you here are probably already baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? But some of you are not. And if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, let me give you kind of an idea of where to start. You want this power of God in your life? Read the book of Acts and look in the book of Acts where it starts talking about people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's several places there. It talks about how they sought God, what happened. My next suggestion is find a Spirit-filled, tongue-talking believer who's willing to pray with you and for you. And then the third thing is that you begin to ask the Father to fill you. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit. I'll show you a scripture about that in a minute. If you're ready to receive the Holy Spirit today, we will pray for you today. And let me back up just a minute. If you see the need for God's power in your life, you're hungry to have God's power in your life, let me tell you, from decades of experience, I can tell you that you will be frustrated until you allow God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, because you will not be able to operate in the power that you want to operate in until He has baptized you in the Holy Spirit. Now, in the early church, like I said, read the first 300 years of the early church fathers. They wrote letters back and forth to each other. And in there you can see where they would talk about having baptismal services for people. They expected when they baptized somebody, they expected them to come out of the water either speaking in tongues or laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover or prophesying. I mean, they expected every believer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they expected something to happen to see that they were baptized. There was something obvious that went on because folks were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what motivated me to want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was a teenager, and one day I started having trouble going to the bathroom. And all of a sudden, over a very short period of time, it got very painful. And then I started passing blood in my urine. I think I must have had something like a urinary tract infection. Now, you men, most men don't know what that's like. Most women have had that more than once. It's very painful. I felt like that I needed to go to the bathroom about every 5 or 10 minutes. And when I'd go, there'd be about 3 drops of fire, and that was it. You know, it was just excruciating. My parents said, okay, we got to go to the emergency room. Take Danny to the emergency room. Danny was what they called me back in those days. And my mother, who had been baptized in the Holy Spirit about a year, my mother, she dropped out of high school, I think, in the eighth grade, ninth grade. She was a housewife. I mean, just a person, you know. But she was filled with the Holy Spirit. She said, let's pray for Danny before we go. And boy, when she started praying for me, I mean, the Holy Spirit really came on her, and she started speaking in tongues and telling me to be healed and asking the Lord to heal me. If we didn't pray long, I mean, it was probably 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes maybe at the most. And we said, okay, let's get in the car and go to the emergency room. Now, where we were living at the time, the emergency room was an hour and a half drive away. And I was wondering, how in the world am I going to make it to this emergency room? But I got in the car and I started feeling a little bit better. And I didn't really feel the need to go too much. And the more we drove, the better I felt. And by the time we got to the hospital, you know, first thing they want is going to be a urine sample. I gave that to them, and it was a little painful, but it wasn't bad. I was actually feeling pretty good. And the doctors came into my parents and to me and said, look, it looks like you have had a very serious urinary tract infection, but we can't find any evidence of that infection. And so we don't know what's going on with you. We're going to put you in the hospital for a few days under observation to find out what's going on, because these doctors know you don't get well right away from something like that, you know. Well, after 3 days, they sent me home and said, well, we just don't know what happened, but all we know is you're well. I tell you what, that was a real demonstration in my life to know the power of the Holy Spirit. I knew where all my mother's warts and, well, maybe I didn't know where all of her warts and pimples were, but you know, I knew her faults. She wasn't a perfect lady, but I knew that she could pray and the Holy Spirit could move through her. I wanted that in my life. And so I began to seek the Lord and said, Lord, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Turn to Luke 11, last scripture for the day. And then we're going to have some fun praying for y'all, praying with y'all, see what the Lord will do. Luke 11, starting in verse 11, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's giving them a parable, and he's talking about folks who asked to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he says, now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If we ask, He'll make sure we get nothing but the real thing. Now, with the disciples, Jesus told them in Acts 1 there that they needed to wait until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was 10 days after that, before the day of Pentecost, before they were actually filled. And so for some folks, you're new to this. Maybe you never heard about this before. Maybe you've been thinking about it for a while. You're not sure what to think about it. That's okay. The Lord's not in a hurry. Others may want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. We'll pray for you today. And some of you may receive the Holy Spirit today. Some of you may not. Sometimes it takes a while. It's a process. It's something where we have to continue to ask and seek the Lord as we go along. But that's okay. With some of us, it just takes longer for us to be able to yield to the Holy Spirit. But once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I can tell you something powerful happens to you. It's not because of who you are, but it's because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to operate through you. You'll probably start speaking in tongues. You'll probably start seeing miracles happen around you, and you'll start living a life where you'll see more miracles. In conclusion, let me suggest two things that you might need to start walking in the power of God, okay? The first is, of course, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the way they talked about in the book of Acts. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, let me encourage you to find a place every day to pray in your prayer language, to pray in tongues, and let the Lord continue to refill you and keep you filled up. We're leaky. The other thing I suggest is look for opportunities for miracles, okay? At every turn, look for a chance to believe God for a miracle. When you get a headache, pray first, and then get the aspirin if you still need it. When somebody in the house loses something, get together and pray and ask the Lord to help you find it. Debbie was looking for some important document the other day. I don't remember what it was, but she had signed it and needed to give it to somebody, and she couldn't find it. And I mean, we looked all over that house. And especially, we looked all around her desk. And so we got together and prayed, Lord, either help us find that document or have an angel bring it back to us, because we need this. We prayed upstairs. Debbie went downstairs to her desk, and the document was sitting right there in the center of her desk. You got a chance. You got to give God a chance to work miracles. Try that. Try it with your kids. You'd be amazed how well God helps you find things. I mean, it's just cool to watch God do that. When a neighbor tells you they need something or a neighbor tells you they're sick, ask them if it would be okay if you prayed for them. You'll be surprised what God may do. We did that not too long ago for a lady that was having some problems with her digestive system. And when she'd eat a meal, her stomach would begin to cramp and hurt her. And she would have to go lay down for about an hour or hour and a half after every meal. And it was really kind of cramping her style. She had two little children. It was making it difficult. You know, we prayed for her and the Lord healed her. But, you know, if we hadn't given God the chance, maybe we would have prayed for her and God wouldn't have touched her. That happens sometimes, okay? But if you don't pray, then for sure there's no chance that God's going to have a chance to move. Give him a chance to show his love through you to other people. And I say, expect a miracle. Expect that miracle at your hands and through the name of Jesus.